Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Martha Lanning is calling Tuesday night's GOP presidential debate in Milwaukee disappointing. Meanwhile, state Republicans are praising the event. In today's edition of On the Campaign Trail, we will get two takes on the politics and the policies that are making news this week on the campaign trail. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, November 12th. We will welcome in Martha Lanning, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And then later in the hour, we will talk with Michelle Lichens, a former Republican state lawmaker. We did reach out to the Republican Party chair, Brad Courtney, but our invitation was declined. Let me welcome our guest, and let me welcome you to chime in with any questions or reactions that you have about Tuesday's Republican presidential debate. What did you make of what the candidates had to say about, for example, raising the minimum wage or not, or immigration? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Martha Lanning is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. You were quoted in a WisPolitics article as saying that you were disappointed with the Republican presidential debate. Why were you disappointed?
I just don't think that the Republicans are recognizing the issues that we really need to be centering on. And I'm really disappointed that under President Obama's leadership, we have had 68 straight months of job growth, and the Republicans are bringing up issues to take us back to the dismal performance that we had when the Republican was in the White House. The difference being President Obama, we've had 13 million jobs added to our job sector. Under President Bush, we were losing 80,000 jobs a day. A month. And it's just really disappointing that they're going back to those same failed policies and presenting them.
You also said that voters heard from a GOP field that doesn't care much about making their lives better. What do you think they care about?
Well, they seem to be caring about talking tough. They seem to be just saying whatever needs to be said to get elected. They don't seem to be backing up many of their ideas with facts. And oftentimes, when they're asked really great questions, they cry foul and say that they're being asked unfair, tough questions. And, you know, they're running for the president of the United States. I mean, this is a position that affects all of our lives, and tough questions should be asked. And that's why I just think that there is a drastic difference between the Republican and the Democratic debates.
Yeah. I want to get into some of the policy issues that came up in the debate, but since you just brought up the tough questions issue, Ben Carson says that he is being treated much harsher than President Obama was treated on the campaign trail, saying that, that people are going after him for things he said in the 10th grade, and they're lying about what he said or did. What's your reaction to that?
You know, I think President Obama, everyone will remember that President Obama was challenged and ridiculed by the far right a lot. And I think the real issue here is that Carson can't respond to the issues that are really being directed at him. And he keeps coming back to those things instead of talking about the real issues that are going to help working families in our country. You know, people want to know, what are you going to do so that I can go to work, make enough money to pay my bills, and have a little bit of extra left over? What are you going to do to ensure that our kids can get a good education in our public schools? And as a parent, how am I going to help my kids get the higher education that they want so that they can, you know, reach their potential and be active in our communities? And those are answers that the Republicans are not, addressing.
Do you think that it is unfair for the media to, does it not matter whether or not Carson was offered a West Point scholarship or whether or not the pyramids were built for grain or not?
I just don't think that Ben Carson is a viable candidate for the president of the United States. And I think he should have clearly known that people were going to vet him very strongly. I mean, he's going to be president of the United States. That's what he was running for. So, of course, they are going to dig into this. And, yeah, I don't, how can you say that, you know, that you received a scholarship when you never even applied? I mean, you didn't receive anything. and the whole pyramids thing, it's just, we need to have somebody in office who has the skills and the understanding. This is a very difficult job, and we need to be sure that we're selecting someone that has the skills, the background, the understanding to make very wise decisions, because their decisions affect all of us.
Well, one of the first questions asked at the debate was about raising the minimum wage, in part because outside of the debate hall, the Milwaukee Theater, there were protesters, and that was one of the issues being protested, wanting a raise in the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, and Ben Carson, who all addressed that question, all said raising the minimum wage would have negative consequences. Rubio, for example, said it would make people more expensive than machines, and that automation would replace jobs. Do you not see that happening with a $15 an hour minimum wage?
No, I think that the Republicans here simply don't understand what the middle class is going through. And I really would encourage them to take a week and go live like somebody who is working on minimum wage and see how easy it is. Because it is just, we have a huge problem in our country that when you go out and work a full-time job, that at the end of the week, you don't have enough money to just take care of yourself. And years ago, 20, 30 years ago, the minimum wage did do that, but it doesn't anymore. And because of that, we have so many working poor in our communities that need to reach out to taxpayers to give them a little heating assistance or whatever it may be at that time. And it's a real problem, and I really encourage people to watch the documentary Inequality for All by Robert Reich, who was Labor Secretary in the past. He does a great job of explaining to people that we have to raise the wages of the working class in order for our economy to really thrive, because it is not correct that start businesses. Businesses have to have customers. And if nobody has any money to spend in businesses, it doesn't matter how many businesses you start. We will not thrive. So raising the minimum wage is critical to getting our economy back on track.
Rubio also said in his response that the best way to raise wages would be through tax and regulatory reform, getting the debt under control, making higher education, especially vocational training, easier to access. In fact, he said we need more welders and less philosophers. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's very important. The only thing that I would agree with on that is that that making technical schools or higher education more attainable, that is something that we need to do. We need to be sure that people can get the skills they need to fill jobs in our market. But the issue here comes back to, again, that when the working class, when the middle class is doing well in our country, everyone is doing well. And when you give a lot of tax breaks to the very wealthy, oftentimes those dollars just go into a bank account somewhere or into the stock market to make more money for themselves. It doesn't necessarily start new businesses that thrive. And the reason is businesses here in Wisconsin, our entrepreneurship is at a terrible rate. And it's because people are struggling here to make ends meet. How can they afford to go shop in new businesses? And so we really need to get things back under control by raising the minimum wage so that people can take care of themselves.
We have just a couple of minutes before news, but I wanted you to respond briefly to Rand Paul, who said that income inequality is worst in cities that are run by Democrats. And if people wanted less inequality, they should move to where Republican policies dominate. Is he right?
Oh, my goodness. Someone should ask him for his facts there, because I'm sure that you would find that those were totally wrong. Those are wrong. If that was true, let's compare Minnesota to Wisconsin. Okay, here in Wisconsin, we refuse to raise the minimum wage 30 cents. 30 cents. We have given huge tax breaks to the wealthy. We have eliminated taxes over time, all taxes to manufacturers. We are doing all these things to help the top tier. And what's happened? We are tied for dead last in Midwest growth. We have had 10,000 job layoff notices are expected to be happening this year alone. Governor Walker's jobs agency has not even come close to getting us back to where we were before the recession. I mean, things are not good here in Wisconsin. On contrast, in Minnesota, they did raise the minimum wage. They did invest in education. They invested in their roads. They have a surplus now, and they have wonderful growth. You make $9,000 more a year working in Minnesota than here.
We'll pick up after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Martha Lanning, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. This is On the Campaign Trail on the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. On this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we are getting more reaction to the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee and talking about other issues that are making news on the campaign trail. Talking with Martha Lanning right now. She is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in former Republican state lawmaker Michelle Litchens to get her take on the issues making news on the campaign trail. We did reach out to the state Republican Party, but our invitation was declined to appear on the program today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I wanted to talk about another issue that was debated on Tuesday night, immigration, another issue that came up in the debate. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz decried amnesty, as they called it, and said that undocumented immigrants are hurting American workers. John Kasich and Jeb Bush said deportation would tear families apart and would simply be impractical. Let me, in fact, play a clip from Jeb Bush on the issue of immigration.
12 million illegal immigrants, to send them back, 500,000 a month, is just not possible. And it's not embracing American values. And it would tear communities apart. And it would send a signal that we're not the kind of country that I know America is. And even having this conversation sends a powerful signal. They're doing high fives in the Clinton campaign right now when they hear this. That's the problem with this. We have to win the presidency. And the way you win the presidency is to have practical plans. Lay them out there. What we need to do is allow people to earn legal status where they pay a fine, where they work, where they don't commit crimes, where they learn English, and over an extended period of time, they earn legal status. That's the path, a proper path to make this. Senator Rubio.
Yeah, so during that debate, someone from the Hillary Clinton campaign did tweet, "We are indeed giving each other high fives right now." What's your reaction to that, Martha Lanning?
Well, I think that's true because I think immigration is an important issue for us to deal with. We have wonderful people who are living in our communities, who are active participants in our communities, who are helping our economy, and they have this dark cloud looming over them. And we need to, you know, Democrats believe that we have to have a more permanent solution that keeps families together and our country safe, which is why President Obama wants to work with our Congress to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill that's similar to one that the state Democrats or the Senate Democrats passed in the last Congress. We need to work together to solve this. And I'm sure that the Hillary camp was doing a high five because I think many of the other Republicans, presidential candidates, response to this question is just not American. It's just not the way we are. We are a country of immigrants, and we need to have comprehensive immigration reform.
Did any other issues in the debate stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that really stood out to me was just how uninformed and how they're not backed up. I mean, when Donald Trump was talking about TPP and going on and on about China, I thought it was interesting that one of them finally pointed out to him that China isn't even part of TPP. It just seems like this group of people are not as well informed as they should be. And I think the fact that the Republican Party has so many candidates shows that they really can't identify who their real leaders are. And that's why I'm so proud of the Democrats, because when we had our debate and our debate that's coming up on Saturday, you know, we have several very strong candidates that have good information to back up their issues. And I think that becomes very evident that we have well-qualified people that would be excellent presidents to continue what President Obama has been doing with job growth and leading our country out of the Great Recession.
We have a lot of callers. They all want to talk about the minimum wage, but we'll take a call. Go back to the minimum wage. Chris in Columbus. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thanks, Joy. Just wanted to say that your guest is completely wrong on the minimum wage issue. I am a supervisor, not only in the healthcare field but also in the Army Reserve, and in both places, I cannot find good workers who want to work. It is not the minimum wage. The jobs are there. I've got a position right now I could fill with a qualified employee that starts at $19 an hour. And I cannot find that person who wants to work, who wants to show up and give 100% effort for the work day. And it's the same with the new soldiers coming into the Army. They expect to be handed everything. The attitude of entitlement that the Democrats and the entitlement welfare state has created is pervasive into the middle class.
All right. Martha, what about, here he's got these jobs at $19 an hour and nobody wants them.
Well, a $19 an hour job probably requires a skilled workforce, and that is one of the real problems that we had, that when the recession hit, you know, instead of us investing in our technical schools and being sure that we could take those people who had lost their jobs and get them training so that they could fill other jobs, instead of investing in our high schools so that when our kids are graduating from high school, if they so choose to be going directly into the market, that they have the skills that they need for the types of jobs that are available in their community, instead of doing those things, we made drastic cuts to both. And now we're even cutting our universities. So I think one of the big issues, if you go over to Minnesota, you see a different situation there. And it's not fair to compare a job that requires skilled work and say, hey, I can't find anybody, so minimum wage is not the issue. The issue really here is, can you live on a job that is paying you $8 or $9 an hour? I mean, Walmart pays $9 average per hour, and people can't live on that, and that's why so many of our tax dollars go to supporting Walmart employees, working employees, while Walmart has billions and billions of dollars of profit that they really could use to pay their employees a fair wage.
Kim in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. To the other guy that just called, you're going to get 1,000 applicants from Oscar Mayer now. My thing is that if you don't want to raise minimum wage, and that's fine, then don't. But then you need to drop prices on all the food. You need to drop gas down back to 90 cents an hour. And you need to lower rents and the utilities so that we can all afford to live on $7.25 an hour by being able to live to be able to afford these things. $4 and $5 for a gallon of milk is kind of ridiculous when you live in Dairyland. You know, so I don't want to hear this. I am tired of hearing this. CFOs, CEOs, and presidents need to take a pay cut. Because if you can't live on a couple $1 million a year, shame on you.
Martha Lanning.
Well, I think that the caller's frustration is it comes from trying to survive in today's world and then seeing people making, you know, $60 million a year to run a company. And that's why, again, I really encourage people to go out and watch the documentary Inequality for All, because it shows that workers' wages have remained flat, but 300 times is the multiple for the richest people in our country, that their wages have increased. And we're just out of whack. We have to fix things so that a working person, you know, they're not necessarily going to be rich, but they should be able to pay for housing. They should be able to pay for food. They should be able to get clothing, and they should just be able to take care of their family. And if we don't fix this, our economy will continue to not be as successful as it should be.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats' next debate is Saturday in Des Moines. Bernie Sanders is the author of a bill to raise the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, to $15 an hour, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And is Hillary Clinton on the same page?
Well, I think the rich, Hillary Clinton is a strong supporter of raising the minimum wage. Russ Feingold is for raising the minimum wage to $15. And I think the issue here is that when you take the time to really look at the economy and see what's happening, we have control over the economy. People do. And we need to be sure that we're making the right decisions that benefit all Americans, not just a select few of wealthy people. And if anybody wants to know whether it's working, look at Wisconsin. The Republicans' agenda, they've had total control of everything, and we are not doing well. And we're not doing well because the Republicans' agenda has been bought by rich billionaires, and they are driving the boat here, and it's not working.
We're going to leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Martha Lanning is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. On the campaign trail continues now with another perspective on the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, the politics and the policy and other issues making news on the campaign trail. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We just heard from Martha Lanning, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We did invite Republican Party Chair Brad Courtney to join us, but he was unable to do so. We are very happy to have with us, though, Michelle Litchens, a small business owner in Elm Grove, a former Republican state lawmaker, a regular contributor to our Friday Week in Review programs. She also attended Tuesday's Republican presidential debate. We'll get her take on how that debate went. And again, welcome your questions and your views on the issues that were debated. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Michelle Litchens joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So what was your, you were in attendance at the Milwaukee Theater for Tuesday's debate. What did you make of the occasion?
I was, and it was a really fun evening. And as a Republican, it was finally a debate where I thought the candidates were asked questions that Republican primary voters wanted to hear. And I think that there was a lot of discussion. It was very interesting to hear the candidates give very different answers to the same question. And so I think a lot of people walked away with more information. I don't necessarily think someone came out as a major winner from the evening. Obviously, we saw a couple people not do as well as they had hoped, and so they might have bumped themselves down to the other debate after after Tuesday night. But it was a great evening to be a Republican in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, who do you think might have might not have done as well as he or she would have liked?
I think John Kasich certainly did not help himself with a number of his answers, and especially for the folks that were sitting in the audience, you could see him fidgeting around. He was kind of hunched over on his podium, and he was constantly trying to interject himself and correct other people, kind of like he was telling them that he knew more than they did about a lot of the issues, and he looked angry. He was not the person that you wanted to hang out with after the debate. And, I mean, he was the one who he had booze, you know, during some of his answers. So I don't think that his numbers are going to do as well the next time they poll.
Well, Michelle, I'm going to play a clip where there was some, interrupting going on. But this is Donald Trump. Apparently not happy that Carly Fiorina tried to get in on the action.
Ronald Reagan was strong, but Ronald Reagan didn't.
And Ronald Reagan walked away at Reckjavik. He walked away. He quit talking when it was time to quit talking.
Can I finish with my time?
Why does she keep interrupting everybody?
Yeah.
Boy, terrible.
Yeah, I'd like to finish my response, basically.
And if I may.
Now that sounded like there was some booze at the very end there. First, it sounded like cheering when Donald Trump said that, and then booze. Well, how did that play to you?
No, there was definitely booze in the audience. It was, I don't know what Donald Trump has against Carly Fiorina. Obviously, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. He seems to have something against women in general. You know, he was out there criticizing her face a few months ago. I don't know if Donald Trump sees Carly as a threat because she is an outsider, and that's the place that he holds right now, or at least what he tries to define himself as a candidate. So he was just rude and a bully. He was a bully through the entire debate. Once again, you know, the man kind of stands there with this grumpy face on him, and he just is not deep in obviously, you know, that jab against Carly was something that you would expect out of Donald Trump, but obviously the Republicans in the audience didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, the debate mainly focused on economic matters. None of the candidates who responded voiced support for a $15 an hour federal minimum wage, saying it would negatively hurt the economy. And we had quite a bit of discussion in our last half hour with Martha Lanning on this. Do you agree that a $15 an hour minimum wage would hurt the economy?
I do, and I actually think that it would hurt a lot of the entry-level employees out there because, and this was brought up in the debate as well, when you increase the minimum wage, employers find a way to bring in machines to replace people. You know, we've seen that start all over the world, actually, where wages, the base wages are increased, and then McDonald's and other fast food restaurants bring in more machines so that you don't need as many employees. So what I would like to see, and again, Rubio talked about this as well, our economy has dramatically changed over the last few years. You know, our largest retailer today in this country doesn't own a store. It's Amazon. Things are not like they were 10 or 20 years ago, and we need someone with a vision who is going to make the changes necessary. So we're not talking about $10 or $15 an hour. We're talking about $20, $25 an hour jobs because that's what we need so that people can provide provide a good living for their families.
Well, Democratic presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Martin O'Malley tweeted their support for $15 an hour during the debate. Sanders said, "We stand with the tens of millions of workers who are working hard to put food on the table." So supporters say people can't afford to live in, under today's minimum wage. Michelle, why not bump it up some to give them a higher paycheck to help make ends meet?
I would agree that you need more money than what the minimum wage is to live. The minimum wage was not designed to be a family-sustaining wage. You need to bring in more money than the minimum wage. But when you increase the minimum wage, you always find people losing jobs at the same time because that is the money that is available to pay their employees. You cannot make people wealthy by taking from one person and giving it to another. We have to find ways to increase that wage by demand, by changing jobs, by changing our education system, and that is how we are going to bring those people out of that bottom wage rung.
Yeah. So we have just 2 minutes before news break, but more time after that. What did you make of the disagreement over immigration reform and whether or not we can deport 11 million illegal immigrants?
I think they made a point. We can't deport them. And it was very interesting in the audience because you heard a number of people cheering for deporting people, and you heard a lot of people in support of not deporting everyone and coming up with some sort of plan for the people we have in this country, finding a way to get them registered and finding them, but getting them in that line so that they can eventually become a citizen. So, again, as a Republican watching this debate, it was just wonderful that we finally had an opportunity to hear from our candidates why they agreed or why they disagreed, and then, you know, we have more of an opportunity to decide who we would like to support for president.
Yeah. In a minute, do you agree with Jeb Bush when he said that Hillary Clinton's campaign was high-fiving hearing talk about the deportation, saying that that's not practical?
Yeah, I don't think this country is I think this country is very split on what to do. You know, it is not fair. It is not fair to those who waited in line to come to this country legally when we do allow people who snuck in this country and they broke the laws and when we gave, if we're going to give them an opportunity to get in line. I do understand that argument and I agree with that. But when you come down to the practicality of actually deporting millions of people so that they can make their way back into this country. It's just not feasible. So I think we do have to come up with a way to get this done that's actually practical and not just philosophical.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about issues on the campaign trail with former Republican state lawmaker Michelle Litchens. This is the Ideas Network. This is On the Campaign Trail. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the hour each week when we focus in on the politics and the policy making news on the campaign trail and taking a look at the issues in the races that you will be voting on in 2016. We are talking for most of this hour about the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee on Tuesday, and welcoming your reaction to some of the issues that made news from there, including minimum wage and immigration. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Michelle Litchens, who is a small business owner in Elm Grove and a former Republican state lawmaker. She was in attendance at the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee. I wanted to ask another question about immigration reform. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson was quoted in a WisPolitics article as saying that the crowd was on the side of realism, which is pretty much, Michelle, what you were saying. But others are saying Republicans need to be real about this because they'll lose the race for president if they lose the Hispanic or Latino vote, which they would if they insisted on deportation. Is that a consideration?
I don't necessarily think they're thinking about winning the Hispanic vote when they're talking about their policies for immigration. I really do think they were talking far more philosophically. And it is about, realistically, how do you take care of having millions of undocumented people here, but yet we know that those people have jobs, they participate in our community, but what do we do about that? And philosophically, you would say you need to leave and come back here legally. I mean, that's what most Republicans would believe. You have to respect our laws if you want to come to this country. But unfortunately, and I think Ronald Reagan showed us a number of years ago, that that's not the practical way to take care of this this problem right now today. So we do need to come up with an answer. But like I had mentioned, that crowd was very split on that issue because you do want to follow the letter of the law, but at the same time, you need to take care of the problem in a way that we can actually afford to do so. So it's something that is splitting Republicans right now. I do believe it was an issue that brought Donald Trump to the forefront of the race because he is the one saying, let's send everybody back and have them make their way back to this country. But when you really start looking at it practically, which was something that John Kasich brought up, that's just not feasible.
Are you throwing your support behind any one candidate yet, or are you going to let the campaigns play out a bit?
You know, I really like Marco Rubio. I really enjoyed his answers. He was someone on the stage that brought some humor to the debate and some realism, and he's a younger guy. So I really do like Marco Rubio, but we'll have to see how this all plays out. When you start breaking down the states, though, looking at this next year, you do wonder if we are going to have a clear-cut candidate, you know, in the next few months of or the first few months of 2016, or how long this race is going to go on, if we're going to have to make the decision at the convention next year or not, because we have so many great candidates. It's wonderful to see that our field is so deep, and we've got a number of young people up there on stage too, which is, as a Republican, really, really fun to see.
Do you think that Ben Carson is a great candidate, or what do you make of the issues on the campaign trail this week with him being questioned on some of the claims he made in his autobiography and other issues?
Well, I was glad to see him defend himself the way that he did, and I think he's really been cleared of any of those claims. He has a very impressive life story as a person, and if he wouldn't have had that story, I don't know if you would have seen him up on that stage Tuesday night. People want a candidate they can believe in, and Ben Carson delivers that to them. But, I mean, we saw from a few of his answers, especially about foreign policy, that he just might not have enough knowledge to be the president of the United States. So I'm not sure if he's going to make it through the primary, but he certainly is a very likable and respectable individual.
Tom in Onalaska joins us. Hi, Tom.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Joy and Michelle.
Hello.
Michelle, were you at the first debate, Michelle, or
I was.
Earlier one? And I was wondering, I was wondering about Rick Santorum. He had mentioned that, you know what I like? I like the Democrats. The reason I like the Democrats is because they're, and then he yelled in the microphone that they're not afraid to fight.
Yeah.
And we're going to lose.
What he said, he said he likes the way the Democrats fight. It's why they're going to win.
Or they have for years, right? That's something Republicans fail to do. We want everyone to like us all the time, so we don't fight as hard as the Democrats do. And it was something that needed to be said, and Republicans kind of need to wake up to it. But I think Rick Santorum made a really good point. The Democrats are willing to fight much harder than Republicans are because we are always worried about people liking us.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Linda in Pewaukee asks, if the minimum wage was never meant to support a family, who are those jobs for? And I think she also is saying that there are people who are in minimum wage jobs that that have families that they are trying to support.
Right, but the word minimum wage does not mean family supporting wage. It means your entry level wage. And you should be able to build yourself up and grow from that wage. It is the lowest wage that needs to be paid. I would hate to think that we would hope families can support themselves on the lowest wage, the lowest minimum wage out there. So, again, I would like to see people earning much more than they are, but we have to put some serious effort into this economy. This is not the economy we used to have years ago. Manufacturing is not what it used to be, although it's still strong in Wisconsin. We need to put some time and effort into this new economy that we have and figure out how we can continue to employ everyone in this country, because there is a way to get it done, and we need to have a leader out there actually making that change so that we can increase the take-home pay for everyone in this country.
Let's go to Larry in Milton. Hello, Larry. Larry, are you there? Nope, Larry's not there. So we'll go on to another caller, Eric in Middleton. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Joy.
Yes, what's your question?
I was just hearing this discussion about the audience being for realism, and I just don't see any realism in the tax plans of these candidates. They're disastrous, and they would just rack up more debt and leave that debt to my generation. For me, the idea that, you know, this sort of starve the beast strategy of cutting taxes and then forcing the government to cut spending that way is sort of like saying, I've been spending too much money out at dinner, so I'm going to quit my job because that'll help me rein in my spending. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Michelle?
I would have to disagree with that. If you went to zero-based budgeting and you said you only have $10 to spend, you're going to find where you need to spend that, where it's the most important priority for you to spend that $10 on. And I think that's how Republicans look at government. When government continues to get too much money, you know, everyone has their hand out. I can tell you as a legislator, whenever there was money, there are plenty of people who come in and say, my program is so important, you need to give us more money. And as a Republican, you just get frustrated with that. Our government is so huge, and it is so cumbersome. There are so many regulations, and we would just like government to stop for a little while. We don't need it to grow anymore. We need to decide what our priorities are. And obviously, we did have some candidates talk about, you know, a 10% flat tax. And is that realistic? Maybe not. But it was nice to hear all of the candidates talk about their different tax plans, what they think might work. And they might just be a goal, but it's a nice place to start. At least we're talking about reducing the taxes on everyone and then reducing our government spending, because we obviously cannot continue to borrow money at the rate that we are in this country, because it's not sustainable.
Rand Paul said that income inequality is the worst in cities that are run by Democrats, which earned some cheers from the crowd. And he said that if people wanted less income inequality, they should move where Republican policies dominate. I asked this of Martha Lanning, the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, in our last half hour, and she said that that was ridiculous, and that just look at Wisconsin versus Minnesota, that democratically run Minnesota with Democratic policies is doing much better economically than Wisconsin. What's your response to that?
I would have to say that part of what he said I completely agree with when it comes to Democrat mayors and governors. You know, the most crime-ridden cities in the country are run by Democrat mayors. The highest unemployment in cities are run by Democrat mayors. So I think that he did have a good point there. I'm not too sure about all of the economic policies across the country, but, you know, when it comes to cities that are experiencing major unemployment, like the city of Milwaukee, you've got a Democrat mayor and a Democrat county executive. So I do encourage people, and I've talked to folks in Milwaukee that are struggling for jobs, to move out of the city because there are jobs in other areas. So I think you made a good point.
Yeah. But broadening it to the state of Wisconsin versus the state of Minnesota, any response?
Well, every state is not exactly the same, and Minnesota has definitely a different economy going than the state of Wisconsin. We are strongly agricultural, manufacturing-based in Wisconsin. They have a lot more technology in Minnesota. I'd like to bring some of that to the state of Wisconsin, and hopefully we'd be able to do that.
Yeah. Colleen in Darlington is with us. Hello, Colleen.
Hi there. How are you today? I was just wondering, is she a member of ALEC? Because they push these agendas, you know, like no minimum wage and all the stuff that's going on too in our state.
Well, ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is what some lawmakers belong to. But, Michelle, you're no longer a lawmaker. What do you have to say about ALEC?
I still pay my dues to ALEC. I love getting the information they send out. It keeps me informed about a lot of issues and what other states are doing to solve some of the problems in their states. So I proudly support ALEC. I am appreciative for the information that they share.
So the Democratic presidential candidates will take the stage in Des Moines on Saturday. What are you expecting from their debate?
You know, hopefully for Democrats, they're going to get the same thing that we received at our debate on Tuesday. I hope that the issues that Democrats want to hear about are discussed. You know, when we saw some of the media saying that Republicans didn't get the tough enough questions, well, we didn't get questions from Democrats this time on Tuesday. So for the Democrat base, I'm hoping that they have issues that they want to hear discussed at their debate that's coming up.
Yeah, and we will follow up on that on Monday morning at 6 o'clock. Michelle, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joy, for having me.
Michelle Litchens, former Republican state lawmaker, a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs on Fridays. Thanks to Bill Mertens and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.